Moms are so important in our lives. So we bless you this morning. Got a message today for around this theme. I was just thinking about how important the women in our life really are. It was just last week, all the ladies went on the women's retreat. And I don't know if there were some guys in this room that were starting to panic about that. I was one of them. I have an infant. I have a toddler. And with all that my wife does from, you know, the time they wake up to the time they go to bed, the middle of the night, I mean, I was starting to panic a little bit. I was starting to sweat. I don't know if there are other guys there with me, but I was definitely honestly thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Well, I love my wife because she gets on the phone and she finds plane tickets from Denver to Philadelphia, and she calls my mom for backup. My mom flies out here, helps my mom, my dad, they help me get through the weekend. But man, ladies, you are valuable. You are invaluable in this world. And that's one of the side benefits of a women's retreat, right? Is all the guys are like, and your families are like, oh my gosh, praise God for you. You can never leave again. I know that was me. So man, we're just reminded of how valuable and how awesome the women are in our life. Proverbs 31:10 famously asks, a woman of worth who can find? And there are a lot of women in the world, but a woman of worth who can find? It's the that's what the scripture is asking us. And so today I want to ask this question: what is a woman of worth? And if you have a daughter like me, how do you raise a woman of worth? And guys, you don't get to sit back and relax. I'm sorry. You know, you're like, oh, it's Mother's Day, sweet. Woman's message. Pfft, I'm good. Along with me, the challenge for us guys is, how do we affirm the worth of the women in our life? So that's sort of where I want to go today. And to help us out, I want to introduce you to one of the most amazing women in Scripture, and that is this woman named Abigail. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Abigail, but she is this amazing woman. She is a woman of worth. So I want you to think about, who is an amazing woman in your life? Who's a woman that has inspired you or encouraged you or been there for you? Maybe you're here today and you're a young lady. Who's a woman in your life that you look up to and want to be like? Maybe you're a guy. Like, who is the woman that you can't live without if you have one of those? That's what we're looking at. We're talking about women of worth. And Abigail is one of these women. And I believe that her story today is going to encourage us. Her story today is going to encourage you ladies to become the woman of worth that God always created you to be. Her story is going to encourage us as parents to raise up daughters of worth, and guys to bless and honor and value the women in our lives. Now, quick disclaimer, I am not a woman. So there's some potential, you know, I can't speak for women. So I just want to get that out there. Like, this is coming from a guy. So take it for what it is. But today I want to speak to the women, especially. I want to encourage the women and challenge the guys a little bit. So if you have a Bible, if you have a copy of the scripture in your hands, maybe it's on, you know, a device or whatever, let's open it up. Let's head over to Abigail's story. She's the character we're looking at today, story of Abigail. That's in 1 Samuel 25. Samuel is in the Old Testament, so open it to the middle, hang a left. You'll find 1 Samuel 25. So that's where we'll be today. We'll just be going through there. Won't be getting too crazy, bouncing around, but just sticking with the story of Abigail. And I really want to encourage and empower the women in our life, not just to be women, but women of worth. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for today. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the women in this church. Thank you for the women in our life, and I want to pray for them today, God. I want to pray that they would rise up to be everything that you made them to be. I pray that they would know your power and your love, and that they would live with confidence every day, and that we would surround, you know, come together and really encourage the ladies. So that's what this morning's about, God, and we just want to ask that you would speak to us, Lord, and you would get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so I got 3 points, then I'll be headed out. First point, a woman of worth is more than a pretty face. So ladies, I want to hear this from you. I am more than a pretty face. Come on, let's hear it. I'm more than a pretty face. Oh, yeah. Yes, you are. You're also pretty, too, but you are so much more. And a woman of worth is more than a pretty face. And I know this is maybe a different point than you've heard on a Sunday morning. I don't know, but I think this needs to be said today, doesn't it? That a woman of worth is more than a pretty face, because so what's happening so often in our culture today is that the worth and value of a woman is almost always being defined in terms of her physical appearance. Have you guys seen that? Have you guys seen that, whether it's in TV or whether it's on TV or a show or a movie or magazine covers? The message that is being communicated is that a woman's value is almost always defined in terms of her physical appearance. And I just don't think that's right. I don't think that's good. And it even gets worse in our culture in this whole area called pornography. And what you see in pornography is that a woman's worth and value is completely defined by her body. And this is the message that is being communicated to, statistically, what we're hearing today. If you have somebody under the age of 18, statistically, this is the message that's reaching 93% of our boys and 62% of our girls. Isn't that sick? Isn't that sad? That this is the message being communicated. I will tell you that pornography has been one of the top pastoral issues that I've wrestled with people in my ministry. 70% of men ages 18 to 24 are viewing pornography monthly. And so what is the message there? A woman's worth is defined by her body and her physical appearance. And so I is it not sick? I have a daughter. Is it not sick that we are raising our sons and daughters in a world where they're being told that a woman's worth is defined by physical appearance? That's wrong. Not so in Scripture, right? Not so in Scripture. Because in Scripture, we see that God created men and women in His image. And so that means today, you have intrinsic value. And what we see in the story of Abigail is we see that Abigail is so much more than a pretty face. So we're going to get these points right from the passage. Let's dive in. 1 Samuel, we're going to start in verse 2. 1 Samuel, starting in verse 2. A certain man in Maon who had property there at Carmel. Sorry, I just got hungry there for a second. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. He was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. And she was intelligent and beautiful. But her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. So here are the first two things that we learn about Abigail. She's intelligent, and she is beautiful. And she was beautiful. So we're not down on beauty. We're not knocking beauty today. I think that word beautiful is a powerful word, and let me explain why. Think about the hundreds of words that are used to describe women today. Gorgeous, hot, sexy, pretty. When was the last time you heard a guy call a woman beautiful? See, that's different, right? Beautiful is a powerful, powerful word. I remember this was a couple of years ago. I was at a Starbucks with one of our youth volunteers. Her name is Alyssa. You guys happen to have an Alyssa too, right? She's this awesome, you know, awesome young woman. She's so encouraging and affirming. She really has a gift for that. And I'll never forget, because there was this old gray-haired woman that walked into the Starbucks. You know, wrinkles all over her face, smile. She came in with this dignity. And Alyssa reaches over and grabs this woman's hand and says, "You are so beautiful." How do you think that made her feel? Amazing, right? What is beauty? It's so much more than just what's on the outside. It's the smile of a woman who's truly happy. It is this radiance. It is this security and confidence and strength and dignity. So here's my encouragement. We're not knocking beauty today. So ladies, be yourself. Be beautiful. But a woman of worth is so much more than a pretty face. And that's what we see with Abigail. Because it says, Scripture says that Abigail was intelligent and beautiful. What is the first thing Scripture says about her? She is intelligent. I don't think it's an accident that beauty comes second and intelligence comes first. Because the thing that's most remarkable about Abigail is that she has this intelligence. And what we think, when we think intelligence, we think smart. And yeah, she was smart. But the Hebrew word here has so much more to than just being smart. Because intelligence, if you have another translation, it might say discerning. She is a woman who is incredibly wise. She is discerning. She has this wisdom from God. And so Scripture, by putting intelligence first and then beauty, is saying that the most important thing about a woman is not how she looks on the outside, but the person that she is on the inside. Amen? Amen. And that's Abigail. She has this wisdom from God. She knows the Lord's will. And she's living it out in her life. She's doing things God's way, in God's timing. She's discerning. She has a voice. She's strong, wise, a woman of character and strength. So a woman of worth is so much more than a pretty face. So I want to ask today, is your heart growing more and more beautiful every day? Because sometimes with the way that life is, when things get hard, difficult, it's easy for our heart to become less and less beautiful every day. So I just want to ask you, is your heart growing more beautiful every day? Because Christianity is a matter of the heart, right? It's not a matter of religion. You're saying, man, I don't know how to make my heart more beautiful. Because we can't. We can't do that. And what Scripture teaches is that we need a new heart. And that is the gift that God wants to give you today. He wants to create in you a new, beautiful heart. God makes all things beautiful. And this is a gift that is received through faith in Jesus Christ. What Jesus did is he bore the ugliness of our sin. He bore the ugliness of our brokenness on the cross. He rose from the dead to give us new life, to give us peace, to give us joy, to create in us a new heart. So have you trusted Jesus? Have you given him your heart? Like we sang earlier, here is my heart. Have you done that to him? And then do you continue? Do you have a rhythm of meeting with Jesus every day? Saying, here's my heart. Here's my heart. I trust you. Are you allowing him to fill your life with his words? Because God will do an amazing work of transformation in your life. Changes our hearts, makes it new and beautiful. That's the gospel message, that Jesus does that for us. So a woman of worth is more than a pretty face. All right, that was the awkward part. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Next point, A woman of worth dares to trust God. A woman of worth dares to trust God. Have you ever been in a situation in your life when you felt totally stuck? Stuck. When we were moving out here, I drove the moving truck with my dad and with a buddy, and my wife and my son Hudson and daughter Lydia, they were going to fly out here, right? Because that's a long drive. Do you know how long it takes to drive from my home in Colorado to my former home, to my new home here? How long? 18 hours. Any other guesses? This just got 36. Okay. According to Google, the actual drive time, going the actual speed limit, which we couldn't do in our moving truck because it was huge, is 1 day, 1 hour, 1 minute. Isn't that funny? We don't want to take an infant and a toddler on a road trip like that, unless you're crazy. So they flew out here, and the cool thing is that Angie's mom and dad flew with her to help out with the kids. Well, they made it to the airport. They got through security. They got all the way to their gate, and turns out the flight was overbooked. Anybody ever experienced that one? More and more common today. So the flight is overbooked, and Angie's mom and dad are not going to be able to get on the airplane. They're stuck. They're grounded. Well, you know, the airline's like, okay, let me see what we can do. And they're able to get Angie's mom on the plane, but not Angie's dad. I don't know if you probably don't know Angie's dad. He was briefly here. He's a guy that works with guns. So I'll just leave it at that. He very nicely says, I don't care what you have to do, I am getting on that plane. And he did. He did. Because he dared to do something differently. He dared to get unstuck. So often in our lives, we find ourselves stuck. Could be stuck in a job, stuck with someone on your team that you don't like. It could be, man, you really dread going into work. You could be stuck in a marriage with somebody who feels impossible to love. You might feel stuck with your children, and children, sometimes you feel stuck with your parents. But so many times in life, we feel stuck. And what I want you to know about Abigail is that she was stuck. And when I say she dared to trust God, it's not because her life was easy. It's in fact, her life was very difficult. But she dared to trust God in the midst of that difficulty. You heard a little bit of her story in the first verses where it said she was married to this man named Nabal. Who is this guy? Well, it said he was surly and mean. Goes on to say he was foolish. So here's a woman who is married to a harsh, mean, and foolish man. And that's her life. She's stuck with this guy. Now we know from that time, we know that Abigail did not choose that. Because you're like, whoa, well, if she's so wise, why did she marry that guy? She didn't choose this. Right? Marriages were arranged back then, which I was totally against until I had a daughter. Totally. Now I'm like, this is interesting. Maybe we ought to be biblical here. But if you're here, a single lady here today, you have a choice. Make a wise choice. What are we looking for in a guy? We're looking for fruit of the Spirit. Youth, you're in a Roots to Fruit series, right? What are you learning about? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's your checklist for the guys in your life. How about that? Abigail didn't have that choice. She's stuck with this guy who is just mean, critical, difficult to live with. How did Abigail respond to this situation? I think this is amazing because Abigail dared to trust God. Now, is our natural response in a difficult or impossible situation to trust God? No, definitely not, right? That's not our natural response. What is our natural response? Let's continue in the passage. We're going to meet David, This is David, who would be the future King David. He's not king yet. He has this band of men, and they're out. He's the future king. He's anointed king, but not appointed king. He has this band of men, and they're traveling around looking for work. He starts doing business with Nabal. So we get to see how Abigail responds. We get to see how David responds. David does some work for Nabal. He protects his 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep for an entire season, and then they go to get paid. And so here's what goes down when David goes to get paid and he meets Nabal. It says, 1 Samuel 25:4, while David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that's yours. See, he comes with just a blessing. Now I hear that it's sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, this is what he's saying to Nabal, we did not mistreat them. The whole time they were in Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. We protected your wealth. That's what he's saying. Ask your own servants, and they will let you know. Therefore, be favorable towards my men, since we come at a festive time. It's paycheck time, festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them. When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name, and then they waited. Remember Nabal, he's harsh, he's mean, he's foolish. So how does he respond? Just like you'd expect, verse 10. Nabal answered David's servants, who's this David? Who's this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I've slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where? He's like, blows him off. Who are you? And then we see our natural response to difficult people, just David. David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word that Nabal had said. David said to his men, each of you strap on his own sword. He's like, get the swords, boys. So they did. David strapped on his as well. About 400 men went up with David. 400 men coming after Nabal. Wow. 200 stayed with the supplies. Interesting note. What is our natural response to cruel and foolish people? Is it not to become more cruel and foolish? Isn't that our natural response? Like when there is a Nabal in your life, whether you work with them, whether you live with them, married with them, isn't our natural tendency to become more like a Nabal? Strap on your swords, everybody. Come on. You want to mess with me? And instead of becoming more and more of the person we want to be, like we talked about, we become less and less of the person we want to be. That's the temptation. That's the danger. So we would become more angry, more unforgiving, more resentful, and less of who God wants us to be. But how does Abigail respond? How does a woman of worth respond? I love Abigail because she dares to trust God. And she risks her life. This is interesting. She risks her life. It's one woman standing in the way of 400 charging men. And she risks her life to protect her husband and to protect David. Verse 14. One of the servants told Abigail, she finds out, she's wise. They tell Abigail, Nabal's wife, David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. And the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us the whole time. We were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. A man no one can talk to. Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. She told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. As she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there were David and his men, 400 men, descending towards her, and she met them. Is it okay? This is like David and Goliath, except David is now Goliath. Here's 400 charging men, swords strapped, one woman standing in the way. What an awesome, awesome woman. Wow. So David and his men are descending towards her, and she met them. David had just said, "It's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness so that nothing of his was missing. He paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him." Strap on your swords. When you have a Nabal in your life, the temptation is to become more and more like a Nabal and less like the person God wants you to be. So I'm going to ask Faith to come up, and I'm going to ask her to voice the part of Abigail. Wouldn't that be awesome this morning? Let's hear from a lady here. So when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. I want you to listen to what Abigail says, because she dares David to trust God. She gives David a new perspective on the situation. So here's Faith.
"Pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man, Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my lord sent. And now, my lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives, and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my lord be like Nabal. And let this gift which your servant has brought to my lord be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my lord because you fight the Lord's battles, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has fulfilled for my lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my lord success, remember your servant."
Awesome. Let's give Faith a round of applause. That was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So Abigail comes, she brings her voice, she gives David a bigger perspective on the situation. And she does that by pointing him to the Lord. We sang the song earlier, Yahweh. Yahweh, that's the name of the Lord. And there are 7 times in this passage, I don't know if you caught it, she mentions God 7 times in this little speech. She's pointing David to the Lord, saying, dare to trust him in this situation. You're fighting the Lord's battles, fight him in God's way. She's saying, you're not king yet, but you will be king someday, but right now you're acting like a fool. She says, trust God. Trust him. He's got you in his hands. You know, she brings food. Ladies, it never hurts to bring your guys some food. Never. She comes humbly. She's a woman of worth, and she is able to speak in a way that opens David's eyes to a bigger perspective on what's going on. And that's what I want to leave for you today. If you're feeling stuck, if life is difficult, if there's an impossible situation, I want to allow Abigail's words to resound in your heart and soul today, that God is alive and God is with you. And even though you're in something hard, you're in something difficult, God has not left you. And it uses this awesome picture saying, Abigail says, David, your life is bound up securely in the bundle of the living. What does that mean? It's a picture from that day of taking something incredibly valuable and wrapping it up safe and secure. Listen, that's your life. Whether it's good today, whether it's difficult today, you are so valuable, and God has wrapped you up nice and secure in his loving care. Do you believe that? Would you dare to trust God today in your life and go, you know what? No matter what happens, God has me. I'm bound up securely in his loving care. See, God is for you today. Even if your situations feel against you, even if your heart accuses you, God is bigger than your heart today. And God is with you. So let's dare to trust him. A woman of worth is more than a pretty face. She's a woman who dares to trust God in all the circumstances of her life. And what we see is that when we trust God, we become more of the person that God created us to be, and not less. Last point, a woman of worth knows her value. A woman of worth knows her value, and what we see is we see Abigail using her voice to add value to people's lives around her. And I believe that God is calling the women of Hope Community Church to use your voice to add value and perspective to the people around you. But a woman of worth should know her value. Maybe it'd help if I told a story. Back when I was in high school, I took my wife Angie to our senior prom. I was a senior. She was not a senior. She was not a junior. She was a sophomore. She was 15 years old. So that's a little bit of our story, high school sweethearts. So she came to my senior prom. It was awesome. Next year came around. I graduated from high school. I went off to college, Colorado State University, and things are still going great. She's now a junior. Junior prom rolls around. I'm like, let's go, junior prom. And we go to junior prom, her junior prom. Next year comes around. She was a sophomore and junior. Now she's a senior. I'm 2 years into college, and I wasn't feeling the whole, like, let's go back to high school prom thing. And I was like, yeah, I really don't want to dance. I don't want to pay for it, and I don't want to hang out with high schoolers. I was like, I'm a college student, you know. I was an idiot. But Andy was really good, and if you know my wife, she's really good like this. And she said, I'm going to my senior prom. I can either go with you or ask another guy. Like, I'll go with you. What is she saying? She says, she is a woman. She's saying, I am a woman of worth, and you need to treat me like a woman of worth, right? Guys, here's my challenge to you. Man, we need to do a better job of affirming, valuing, cherishing, honoring, and blessing the women in our life, right? I mean, she's a woman of worth. You got to treat her right. Treat her like she deserves. Love her. Care for her. Cherish her. And what we see is David is that David has this moment where he affirms Abigail's value. This is for the guys here. And all of us. We can all affirm the value of the women in our life. David said to Abigail, this is verse 32, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord God, the God of Israel, lives, who's kept me from harming you, If you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive at daybreak. Wow. What is David saying to Abigail? He's saying, God has used you in my life. I praise God for you. Guess what? She saved David. David praised God for her. David affirmed her. She also, this is crazy, she also saved her husband that day. Do you think he affirmed her? Probably not, right? But did that stop her from loving him, caring for him, protecting him? No, it didn't. Why? Because that's who she was. She was a confident, she knew her life is bound up in the bundle of the Lord. That's where her identity was. And so she could live as a woman of worth in this world because her worth came from God. And the people around her began to affirm and value her. I want us to be a church that affirms and values the women around us. And that's why we got these gifts. I want to make sure that all the ladies get one of these gifts today. It's for all the ladies. And I want to thank Stephanie for putting these together. Thank you. Thank you. So that video, call a mom, let's do that. Let's affirm the women in our life. For a lot of us, that's our moms. Moms, you are invaluable in what you do for your children. But look, aren't there so many other women out there who speak into our lives, who've deposited words of faith and encouragement? You know, you don't have to be a mom to have a mother's heart. Do you guys know that? I know in my own life, watching my wife, I mean, we had years where we could not, she could not be a mom, yet she was a mom to so many young girls. And so we honor the women here, women of worth. You guys are awesome. We bless you. We praise God for you. We're glad that you can come back from this retreat on fire for the Lord, and we want to continue to encourage you. For those of you here today, maybe you're struggling, and we'll close with this, and you're in a hard marriage, you're in a hard situation. You don't have to let that person or that situation cause you to be less of the person you want to be. So there are four powerful words that you can say today. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. And when you can say those four powerful words, telling you, you're going to be an inspiration to people around you. And just like Abigail, you are going to be that woman of worth. All right, so let me pray for you guys. Worship team, you guys can come on up. Tom had the guys stand earlier. I think I'm going to have the ladies stand. Ladies, will you stand real quick? We're going to pray for you. Man, feel free to just put your hand on your wife, your daughter. Guys, it doesn't hurt to extend a hand towards the women. This is not just for mom. Young ladies, come on. Stand up. Yep. Welcome to church. Welcome to church. Come on. This is for you young ladies to grow up and to be women of worth in this world. That's our heart for you. So God, Heavenly Father, these are your daughters, these women in this room. We praise God for them. We bless them and we encourage them. I pray that each woman in this room would not only know the love of God, but would believe that love. And we ask that you would do a mighty work of transformation in their hearts. I pray for those that are battling stress or anxiety or depression. Heal that now in Jesus' name. And let your peace come. Let the peace of Christ rule in their hearts, God. May they know that their life is bound up in the loving care of God Almighty, and He will not let them go. So we commit these women to you. We bless them. We affirm them and praise God for them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand. Let's worship a God who loves us and cares for us.